You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. I'm your host, Derek Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Balls. This podcast available anywhere you want to get your podcast every single weekday morning when you wake up. Got a fun show coming up today. Of course, it is Ward Wednesday. Josh Ward stops by the program to give his thoughts on everything going on around Tennessee football and Tennessee basketball right now. That'll be in segment number two, so stay tuned for that. Ward Wednesday in segment number two. Segment number one, I'm going to describe, give my take on exactly what's going on right now with Tennessee football off the field. We talk all the time on the field, but now we're going off the field. So that's coming up here in segment number one. Some more news and notes to finish off the show, and that will be a Wednesday program. And guys, of course, I'm Eric Kane. Radio personality here in Knoxville, Tennessee, contributor to the Volcas website, and your host for Locked On Vols. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. This is a Wednesday Locked On Vols. So, you know, the question here the last couple of days, and you know, I do various media hits. I did a media hit with Jason Martin and Ramon Foster on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville on Tuesday. Did another radio hit in in Middle Tennessee as well, and I've talked to some different people, you know, this week, and the question I keep getting asked is, what is going on with Tennessee football off the field right now? What culture, setting a standard, whatever it is, but you continue to see players getting in trouble, suspended indefinitely, and ultimately not on the practice field to get better for the fall. And the latest of which, of course, I mentioned it in Tuesday's show, but Aaron Beasley, he has been suspended from the team indefinitely because of allegations of animal cruelty that surfaced late last week. Not only that, of course, the Brandon Davis story has circulated once again this week. Of course, he was the former Tennessee defensive back that was shot in the thigh about this time last year at Uptown Nightclub on Cumberland Avenue. He claims that he was shot. He claimed on the scene that night that he did not shoot himself. But it was an ongoing investigation really up, you know, through the year and deciding exactly what happened. But, you know, Brandon Davis decided not to pursue criminal charges. So the case is kind of, I don't know what the legal term is, dropped, but it's kind of not resolved, whatever the case may be. But the Knoxville News Sentinel came out this week, you know, and it kind of gave an update on that situation and essentially saying, you know, Brandon Davis said he did not get shot, but someone, a former teammate of his, which might still be on the football team here in Knoxville, you know, did shoot him. So that is a horrible situation. Allegedly kicking a cat is a horrible situation. What happened in the dorms back in Stokely Hall on March the 9th involving 4 to 5 football players, a horrible situation. So what is going on right now? And is this Josh Heupel's fault? It's hard for me to put blame on the head coach right now, considering he's been on the job for 2 months. He was on the job for literally, I want to say, 5 weeks when the first incident happened. The second incident I referenced happened this time last year. And then, you know, Aaron Beasley's incident, the allegations of animal cruelty. I mean, just kids being stupid, kids being dumb. And I'll say this, you know, with the first situation with Caden Salter, Martavis French, Aaron Willis, Isaac Washington, and Jimmy Himes reported that James Robinson was on the scene as well, but he was not charged with anything. You know, that's different. Is that good? Is that better? I'm not trying to compare apples to oranges here or whatever the analogy you want to use here. But that is different because you made a mistake. You acted stupid. You acted immature. But you can learn from that. You can grow from that. You can move on if given a second chance. And I think all those guys will get a second chance. Time will tell for sure. But I do believe all those guys will get a second chance. And I'm not saying that's any better, but here's the thing, it is different. You can learn from that, you can grow from that. If these allegations are true about Aaron Beasley right now, I mean, what are you doing here? What type of person are you? And again, innocent until proven guilty. And I'm strong believer in that sentiment. So I'm not accusing Aaron Beasley of doing anything right now, but I am saying the facts. He is suspended indefinitely from the football team as police and the school investigate exactly what happened. If they find any evidence that it was Aaron Beasley, he's gone for sure. in my opinion. He's gone without a doubt. But nonetheless, he's gone from the team right now, suspended indefinitely. The four players I just mentioned earlier, suspended indefinitely. James Robinson, Josh Heupel said on Friday that he is not practicing with the team right now, whatever that means. I don't know if that's suspended indefinitely. I don't know. We'll hopefully get a follow-up later this week. And then Brandon Davis, of course, is not even here on roster anymore. He's, guys, I'm sorry, I forgot. He's at a junior college now somewhere else, and he's not even a part of the Vol family anymore. But, you know, the people that were with him in the nightclub that night, some still are on the football team. The story referenced from the Knoxville News Sentinel that Alante Taylor and Trayvon Flowers, they were in the police report because they were with Brandon Davis pretty much that entire night. But those two guys are not suspects in terms of who might have shot Brandon Davis. I want to make that clear. The article from the Knoxville News Sentinel says those two are not suspects. But, you know, those two guys are on the team right now. And I'm not saying they did anything wrong. I'm just saying, you know, there might be a guy that's on the football team right now that shot somebody accidentally. Whatever the case may be, why do you have a gun in a nightclub? You know, why in Knoxville, Tennessee? I'm not saying Knoxville is crime free by any stretch of the imagination, but when I was talking with, you know, Ramon Foster and Jason Martin on Tuesday, I mean, this isn't LA, this isn't Chicago, this isn't New York. And plus, if you're going to a nightclub and you feel like you have to have a gun on you, probably shouldn't go anyway. Likely, and I can't speak for them, I wasn't there, I'm not in that group of friends. Clearly, I'm way older than those guys, I'm not in college anymore, but. You'll likely, you know, carrying a gun just to be cool or just to strap or, you know, just for show, in my opinion. I don't know if that's the case, but a lot of times that is the case. Just a bad situation to be in altogether. And so that's kind of where we are. And those type of stories, those three stories have dominated the news cycle here so far through the midweek here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And what should be, all the attention should be on spring football practice, on Josh Heupel, on the players, the quarterback battle, everything that involves in that. It's not really, because the attention is on off the field. I'm spending, you know, my whole entire first segment here talking about it here on a Wednesday show. So how do you fix it? I don't know. But I will say this. The players ask athletic director Danny White what they look for in a new head coach. They wanted accountability, accountability, accountability. So while the process plays out, you know, for all these guys, you know, Josh Heupel has suspended them indefinitely, and I believe that's holding the team to a higher standard, and I applaud him for doing that. We saw a couple of times during the Jeremy Pruitt era where he would not suspend a player under investigation for something, hold him on, and then suspend him when he finally had to. I overall like Jeremy Pruitt. I never had a problem with Jeremy Pruitt. I talked to him a couple times off the record. He's a really nice guy. I think he's a smart football coach, but I didn't like how he handled some of those situations. And I've mentioned it before on this podcast, the Bryce Thompson situation, didn't like how he handled it. There were some other situations as well that I didn't like how he handled them. But, you know, Josh Heupel looks like he's taking no crap, almost like a zero tolerance policy, if you will, in terms of being kicked off the team before maybe getting a second chance. So that's kind of where we are right now. It's not a good light. It does not paint the university in a good light. It does not paint the football team in a good light. But kind of here you are right now, and you just hope that these off-the-field issues will cease here at some point. You know, anytime you're covering a football program, especially the Division I level, I mean, the kids are going to get in trouble. That's just how it is. That's just part of it at any level. I got in trouble when I was in college, not to anything of this degree, but I got in trouble a couple times when I'm in college because I was a stupid college kid. Just part of it. But you hope that these guys will stop and clean up their act. And again, the overwhelming majority of the football team, gosh, I can't speak, does things the right way. And so I'm not trying to paint the football program in a bad light. I'm not. But certainly not a very good week in terms of the news cycle for Tennessee football when it should all be concentrated on spring football practice. But I do think Josh Heupel's doing the right thing. I do believe he is, you know, suspending players indefinitely until they let the process play out, and then from there decide, okay, are you worthy enough to be back on this football team right now, or do you need to earn it back? And so I believe a lot of these players will have to earn it back, but I do think a lot of these players will be given another opportunity. So we'll have to see. Aaron Beasley suspended indefinitely. Allegations of animal cruelty by the police and the school are investigating in that. We'll have to see exactly what happens there, but he is innocent right now until proven guilty. The four other players, Caden Salter, Martavis French, Aaron Willis, Isaac Washington, all those guys suspended indefinitely. Misdemeanor drug charges. Caden Salter's got his dropped completely, and none of those players were charged with burglary or or battery, anything like that. So we'll have to see. But nonetheless, here's to hoping that all the conversation is back to the field and back into that locker room, and we'll kind of see where we go from there. We'll get Josh Ward's thoughts when we return on the other side for Ward Wednesday. That and some more basketball notes here on Locked On Vols, a Wednesday edition. Before we get to Josh Ward, though, Josh Ward, a big fan, and again, I think he's stealing mine, but of Built Bar. It's the best-tasting protein bar ever. You've got 18 flavors, 12 original, 6 new flavors in caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. 12 original flavors in coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange, toffee almond, coconut, and peanut butter brownie. All these bars covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Great for the health-conscious guy or gal. Low sugar, high protein, high fiber, low calorie. Great for that keto diet. So I need you to go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order of Built Bars. Locked On 15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Guys, try it out. If you haven't, now is the time. Check them all out at BuiltBar.com. We got Josh Ward for Ward Wednesday on the other side. But first, before we get to Joshua, you can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. That time of the week again, it is Ward Wednesday. We welcome on Josh Ward to the podcast. Josh, how are we doing today, sir?
Hey, doing well. Great to be back on.
Yeah, so a lot going on with Tennessee Athletics right now. I'll hit you with the basketball question first. Some transition on the coaching staff for Tennessee. Of course, you have Kim English to George Mason. You have now Desmond Oliver to ETSU, but Rick Barnes does bring on a new assistant coach yesterday. And so what can you tell me about just all this turnover, not only for the players on this basketball team, but also the coaching staff as well? It's going to be a completely new look Tennessee basketball team next year almost.
Yeah, the program is very much transitioning with the roster turnover and then coaching staff turnover. Losing two of the three main assistants is, you know, fairly significant, but also I think Tennessee is in a position with Rick Barnes as the head coach where it's attractive to other coaches. So Rod Clark joins the staff, and he is a young, up-and-coming coach who I'm sure will be expected to help in recruiting as Kim English did. And then let's see what Tennessee does to replace Desmond Oliver. But I would think in that position, you want an experienced coach to come in and help as well. And having Mike Schwartz on the staff is still significant to me because he's so well thought of and plays such an important role in what Tennessee does defensively. But with his background in the program and with Rick Barnes, that helps in this transition. And then the roster we knew was going to have turnover in the first place. Getting Justin Powell's commitment to come in as a transfer from Auburn helps. They need more. They need front court help. But I think it's a reminder that, yeah, there will be change. It doesn't mean that change is a bad thing. Maybe change is needed, considering how this season went. It wasn't a bad season, but it was a season that fell short of pretty much all of the team's expectations.
Josh, I don't expect you to have the answer to this. You're not a fortune teller, but what is Keon Johnson waiting on for declaring? When should we expect John Fulkerson to make an announcement officially? The same in terms of officially for E. Pons, EJ Anasicki. Still a lot of guys that, and Anasicki didn't go through senior day. It was his thoughts all along to stay back another year, but still some decisions to be made for Tennessee basketball before you can really kind of map out what this roster is going to look like next year.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is on Keon Johnson's timing. The expectation is still that he's going to enter the draft. It could be that he will enter and still leave open the possibility of returning to Tennessee. I just think that's so unlikely considering he is projected top 10 pick in the NBA draft. So Tennessee is operating under the assumption he's not coming back. With John Fulkerson, I don't have a good answer there either on timing, but I do have to wonder with the way that his season ended, with what happened in the Florida game in the SEC tournament, and then that ended his season, which would end his career if he decided to move on. Could that have him rethinking things about the idea of coming back? And I think that's a real possibility because he was already leaving the door open. So if anything, I would think that would influence the decision. But in terms of a a time standpoint. One, Tennessee doesn't have to have an answer right away because he does not affect the scholarship numbers. So that's not an issue here. So once he decides what he's going to do, if John Fulkerson decides to return, he can still come back and it does not affect Tennessee's recruiting, whether we're talking about high school or trying to go out and get a transfer. The expectation has been that Anasicki is coming back and then Efons has planned to move on. So that would be another example of a lot of change coming back. If Tennessee can land a front court player who can help immediately, Walker Kessler is a very popular name there, but everybody wants Walker Kessler or somebody else, and Fulkerson would come back, I think you feel a lot better about what the front court could be for next year's team. I think having Fulkerson back would be really good for Tennessee, especially if they can get him some help around the basket.
Josh, we shift over to football now, and man, it's not even really, I'm not even really shifting to the football field, more or less off the field. Off the field issues continue to arise. You have a couple stories coming out this week. One, you know, dating back to a story that broke last March, I guess, concerning Brandon Davis and a gunshot wound that was not a very good story there. Of course, the Aaron Beasley story right now, he is suspended indefinitely until further notice as his allegations continue to be investigated. Of course, you have the incident with the dorms in early March. A lot of off-the-field issues that aren't necessarily, I mean, none of this is Josh Heupel's fault, but probably not the best start to, that you know, its tenure being Tennessee's head coach in terms of off-the-field issues. A lot to navigate through here early on that has nothing to do with football.
Right, and as you mentioned, none of this is Josh Heupel's doing. None of it's his fault. But it is still something that he inherits and something that he has to deal with. And things like this can happen from time to time. But the decision he made to suspend Aaron Beasley indefinitely, I think, was a pretty easy one. And if the allegations are proven true, then I can't imagine that Aaron Beasley would still be on the football team. And you know, the other issues that they've had to deal with the players being suspended from the incident several weeks ago, including Caden Salter and Willis, Isaac Washington, Martavius French is the other player. You know, that's a university matter, so it's out of Josh Heupel's hands. He can't even do anything right now in terms of having them back on the team until they're, you know, allowed by the university. So it's just, yeah, it's a headache, and it's, you know, if you're trying to get the linebacker position figured out, these situations make that much more difficult because you're kind of running out of players on the field. And I think it's a reminder of there's a lot of work that goes into it. It's not just scheme. It's not just, can you get the quarterback fix? Can you put points on the board? They need to establish, here's the word that's always brought up, but it applies, the culture. And they need to get some kind of foundation laid within the program and get players on the right track and find leaders and get some guys that can help push everyone forward. I think there's some guys on the team that can play that role. I think Alante Taylor would be an obvious choice there on the defensive side. You hope players like Cade Mays and K'Ron Calvert and Valus Jones, that they help lead the way on the offensive side, guys that have played a good amount of football. So that's just going to take time. In the meantime, you have these headlines that are just no good, and Tennessee fans have to be frustrated and tired of it and asking, okay, when are we going to get something good to happen with Tennessee football? And, you know, realistically, that's going to take some time. In the meantime, you have to deal with all of this.
In the last 4 months, here's some names in the linebacker room, and this is what they're doing now. Tuotuo, transfer portal. Crouch, transfer portal. Peterson, transfer portal. Banks, he's injured, rehabbing right now, not full contact. Beasley, suspended indefinitely. French, suspended indefinitely. Willis, suspended indefinitely. I mean, that's seven guys that I named right there. Seven linebackers you are down essentially since January. It's Morvin Joseph's show right now, and he's a guy that played a little inside last year, played a little outside, didn't see a whole lot of action as a true freshman, but it's Quazi Garland, Morvin Joseph, Solon Page. I mean, really, those are the notable linebackers right now, pending a move from a running back to linebacker or, you know, shuffling the deck. It's good opportunity there so far in the linebacker room for some guys to show out and play depth. I still think Tennessee is going to be counting on Jeremy Banks, counting on Roman Harrison, who's also banged up right now, to kind of fill the gap at linebacker. But the numbers are thin right now for sure. But moving on real quick before we get you out the door, it could be linebacker, but overall, what you've heard from Josh Heupel, what you heard from assistants and players, what you've seen so far, practice, whatever role that may be, kind of what's your biggest takeaway so far, about 2.5 weeks into Tennessee spring football practice?
Yeah, the negative, the most frustrating would be the linebacker position. You just laid it all out there. If last week I had said, you know, I can't imagine it getting much worse at that position, then you get the story of a player having to be suspended because of animal abuse allegations. It actually somehow found a way to get worse. But
yep.
You already knew that was going to be a concern. I think the big positive, I think right now what you still like is that there's legitimate competition at quarterback with all of those players. I think that's good. And of course, Caden Salter's not a part of that. But the other three players, those are the guys that are really competing for this upcoming season anyway. Hendon Hooker, Harrison Bailey, Brian Maurer. I think there's a real opportunity for all three players that'll make each one of them better, and they're going to get good coaching in that position. And Valus Jones, who is, you know, kind of maybe becoming a spokesman for the team or the offense with all of his experience. He's a super senior on the team. Talking about this being a receiver's dream, there's real opportunity there. Let's see what Ramel Keaton can do with another opportunity. Can he break out? Jalen Hyatt, can he break out? Jimmy Callaway, can he break out? Walker Merrill, can he make a big impact? This offense, it's going to need to score points. It's going to have an opportunity to score points. And doesn't mean Tennessee's going to go out and beat Alabama or Georgia or Florida. I'm not saying that. But against the other teams, South Carolina, Missouri, Pitt, those teams don't scare you with what they can do offensively, and Tennessee should be able to match. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but early on, the excitement of the potential of what this offense could do from where it was the last couple of seasons, struggling so much, to what it could become short-term and then long-term, I think you're starting to see the players buy in to what their potential can be with this new offensive coaching staff.
Josh Ward, War Wednesday at Josh_Ward on Twitter. Josh, what's coming up on Sports 180 the rest of the week?
Yeah, we're starting to transition into off-season time, which you're covering here on Locked On Vols. So spring football is a big topic, Tennessee basketball, all its changes going on, and just what the next few months will hold in the college sports world as college basketball season has just now come to an end.
Weekdays noon to 3, 99.1 thesportsanimal.com and worldwide on the WNML app. Josh, thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you again next week on another Ward Wednesday.
Forward to it. Thanks, Eric.
Big thanks, as always, to Josh Ward for joining us each and every Wednesday for Award Wednesday. And Josh, you saw him over the weekend. He got in on that action of Final Four, and I'm not sure if he was on the right side of what Baylor did on Monday night, but ultimately, Josh, a big fan, as am I, of Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is over now. College basketball is over now, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, all ramping up. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality television. It's real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can possibly imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. It's completely free to sign up. BetOnline is going to give you money if you use a promo code on your first deposit. Literally going to hand you over money so you can go and get in on all the fun on that first deposit. So when you place your first deposit by logging on to betonline.com or betonline.ag, excuse me, or on your mobile device, you're going to get 50% welcome bonus just by using the promo code Locked On. 50% welcome bonus Locked On. The Masters is this weekend. Major League Baseball, again, I just mentioned every single day now, you're going to have a baseball game. Tons and tons to get in on at BetOnline. BetOnline.ag, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. It's been a good show so far today. Talked some off-the-field issues and, of course, caught up with our friend Josh Ward in segment number 2 for Ward Wednesday. Going to close with a shorter segment talking about what I saw at practice yesterday, as well as a quote I want to play for you guys from Jerry Mack on one of his running backs. Before we get into that, guys, it's April and the Locked On NFL Network, a podcast, is shifting into draft mode. That means April 19th through the 26th, you can tune in to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Brian Baldinger, and Michael Lombardi. And you can stay tuned for more information about where you can find the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. So yesterday at practice, I was watching more of the offensive guys, and Jimmy Callaway just continues to impress. He looks so comfortable in this offense. He looks so sharp. He and Valus Jones Jr., and I think Jimmy Callaway is a guy, I've touched on this before, that it's been really, really impressive so far. Another guy that stood out to me throughout the first couple times we've been to practice is Deep Beckwith. Yes, he's 6'4", 235, whatever the case may be. He's a big guy, but Jerry Mack even said that he's really starting to kind of hone in there at running back, kind of own that, and he's really starting to produce pretty well in practice. And he looks just so smooth and just moves so swiftly at running back from when we've been there. And so D. Beckwith is a guy that has stood out to me. And, of course, he's a potential guy to move and go to another position, as is Lenneth Whitehead, that Jerry Mack said when he met with the media on Tuesday afternoon, that there's been no discussions about Lenneth Whitehead moving to linebacker. Again, what are you waiting for? Every single day you don't move him to linebacker, it's a day he does not get a chance to get better at linebacker. And yes, I do believe this team will address linebacker when spring is over, probably via the transfer portal. You're going to get some guys back from injury. I get all that. But you need depth. And I understand Tennessee is going to run. Tennessee's going to run some more defensive backs to mask of that. But still, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But nonetheless, D. Beckwith's looked pretty sharp. Bryson Easton has looked really, really sharp. Again, you talk about looking smooth and swift and just so finesse, I guess is the word I'm looking for, under the chutes, going through bag drills and all that stuff with the defensive line. He's put on some weight. He looks like a mountain of muscle right now, but Bryson Easton's impressed me as well. But a guy that's impressed a whole lot of people, including Jerry Mack, running back coach here for Tennessee, is Jabari Small. We know Jabari Small. He got a little bit of run there late in the year last year, but it's hard to touch the ball when you have Eric Gray and Ty Chandler in front of you. But Jabari Small is poised to kind of be a leader in that backfield, along with he and Tyon Evans, who is continuing to do more and more, and he should be back to full strength soon, according to Jerry Mack. But give this a listen from Jerry Mack. This is from Tuesday when assistant coaches Jerry Mack and Willie Martinez met with the media. This is Mack on Jabari Small and kind of how he is as a running back, how he's done so far during spring.
Yeah, you can just tell Jabari's one of those guys that really was born to play running back. He has a really natural feel, has great instincts at the position. You can tell he's been really well coached in high school and also too with the previous staff. He has a natural feel for that position right now. Every day we come out there and he is disciplined, he is focused, he understands protections right now, and which is really intriguing and really impressive for a guy really of his youth. But right now he has been extremely impressive to everybody on the field. The way he handles his business, the way he goes about his business, he takes care of business like a pro. And we talk about that in the room all the time, making sure you handle yourself, write notes, take notes, and then go out there and apply to the field. And that's what I've been really impressed with him with this entire spring. These first six practices, he's been really sparked and showed his true colors. And I think he's going to really help us this year.
That's some high praise there. Guy was born to play running back. Going to help us out a whole lot this year, the way he goes about his business, his intelligence, his work ethic. But born to play running back. It's what you like to hear from. It's probably going to be, you know, if not your starting running back, a guy that's going to carry the tote the football quite a bit next year. And so that was good to hear. And Jabari Small is a guy that's so easy to root for. Seems like a very nice kid. Works hard, runs well. A little bit smaller, but man, he's fast, and I think he's going to be a good fit in this offense, and apparently he is so far. So wanted to get that comment in there from Jerry back on Jabari Small. So one other note before we sign off here on a Wednesday, Willie Martinez, I asked him who has been repping at that nickelback spot, that star position, because again, in today's day in football, you don't just have four defensive backs. You have five, sometimes six. Yeah, pretty much five on routine almost. And that's kind of how Jeremy Pruitt's defense was as well. And I said it probably, I would assume it starts with Theo Jackson, but you're probably working several guys at that nickelback spot. And he said, yeah, several guys are working there. He mentioned Danico Slaughter, Jalen McCullough, Theo Jackson, and a couple of other guys, Tamarian McDonald as well. He said that because the numbers are thin on the back end as well, they've been kind of moving some guys around. Cornerbacks have been playing nickelback. Safeties have been playing nickelback. But they're just trying to fill out their personnel and continuing on throughout this process. And that's what spring's all about. But nonetheless, I wanted to give you a couple updates from meeting with the media, that being Jerry Mack and Willie Martinez. We will have no practice on today, on Wednesday, but players will meet with us later in the evening. There will be a closed scrimmage on Thursday, and there's going to be practice Saturday morning. Hearing potentially could be some exciting news for Tennessee fans on Saturday morning, so we'll have to stay tuned towards that later on in the week. Guys, I appreciate it. Had a fun time here on Ward Wednesday, and always appreciate you guys hanging out and supporting this podcast. We'll talk again on Thursday. Until then, have a great rest of your Wednesday, everybody, and don't forget to rate, review, download, subscribe, and share. This is Locked On Vols, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network.